seemed like the summertime to get that, you know, just come back from camp, they're kind of tired, everybody's kind of tired. You got all these vacations, got folks this morning going on vacation, different places. And we also got folks, we got some more kids going to camp to my sons up in New York. They're today over at Brother Tim Black's church, and Tim's going to be leaving right after church today to go to New York to go to camp. And I wish we had the time. We could just load up the Greyhound again, go to camp in New York, near Canada. I like to take the kids up there and go to Montreal, go into Canada and all that stuff. I like to go to Arkansas sometime. I was talking to Brother Chandler. They had 400-something in Arkansas, and they're building another dorm. They've just been started building another dorm so they can have 500-some next year. And then the camp in North Carolina, it's great. It's still good. God's still there, and God showed up, and what a blessing that is. So we want to keep the kids fired up, but we also want to see the adults fired up.
Amen.
Amen. We want to see them fired up. So take your Bibles this morning and take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9 and for a few minutes. And we're going to talk about baby dedication later. But Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll get into this.
Amen.
And what a blessing it is that they could go to camp and come back and they were fired up. I wish I would have been there more and be able to participate in it. And because that's always been a good time, always really good time for me, being at camp. And I got some fond memories at camp. One year we was messing around down there, and I got pictures of we pulled out snakes messing around, you know, joking. We don't handle snakes. If you're visiting with us today, don't worry about that. We're not pulling out any snakes or anything. But you know, there's snake handlers down in Kentucky and Mississippi, different places. They try to prove that they got the Holy Ghost, and they pull out a snake. And they'll, you know, I'm talking about real snakes, and rattlers and cotton mouths and all that stuff. And they pull that stuff out. But one year we pulled out snakes. We was messing around with the kids, and Mrs. Numb was sitting there, and I put a snake on her head. And I would walk down the aisle, had about 300, 400 kids there, and I had the snake. My wife was handed it to me, and we act like we got the apostolic accession. Now, if you haven't read your Bible, in the Bible, the apostles could drink any deadly poison. Snake bit and all that, it wouldn't kill them, wouldn't hurt them. Why? They had the power of God on them in that sense, as the apostles. But we were messing around. We were saying that we got the power, you know, and I act like I was talking to the snake. And I remember walking down, and the girls were all over here, and they were all in the front. And I remember said, "What? You know, we're going, somebody's unbeliever." And I went like that with the snake. And man, the whole section cleared out. Chairs went everywhere. And they almost jumped off the platform up there. I mean, off the side of the cliff. But we had a lot of fun at camp. There's a lot of times I can remember things we've done at camp. Take your Bible, look in Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to talk about the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. The last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9. And, you know, my wife's dad just passed away. And while I was gone, I got a call here. I had two funerals that people wanted me to do, and I couldn't do. And one man was 92 years old. I just talked to the family this morning, and they said they're going to be coming out next week. And then there was a young man overdosed on drugs, 44 years old. And he got saved here and got messing around with drugs still and just ruined his life. And my wife's dad passed away, and before he passed away, he had a will made. And he had a will made, and he made my wife the executor of the estate. And she, in the will, she inherits everything. She inherits what he had. And she's not only the executor of the estate, but she's also the inheritant. And Jesus Christ made a will, and his last will and testament was in the Word of God. It's the Word of God, what we have. That's his last will and testament. And he gives it to us. And he tells us all things are yours, all things. But as a pastor and as preachers and teachers and all that, we're executors of the state. We make sure that people get what they're supposed to get as what Jesus Christ offers to them and what he said he's going to leave them. Now, we know Jesus Christ is died on the cross. He paid our sin debt, but he's alive. He resurrected, amen. He's not laying in a grave somewhere. And that's what makes us different from all the religions is that the religions, and I say religions, you know, religions is not the answer. If you're sitting here this morning, you think because of your religion or you're a religious person that you're going to go to heaven, you deserve to, that's a lie. That's a barefaced lie. And but Jesus Christ never had a house. He never owned a house. He never owned a car. Think about this, guys. a kid came to his father and said, and the boy back in the day when they had, you know, in the 60s and 70s, kids grew their hair long. And a kid came to his father and said, hey, Dad. He said, Dad, let me borrow the car. Let me borrow the keys. And he said, no, man, we made an agreement. If you're going to live in my house, you got to get your hair cut and you got to live right. And he said, come on, Dad. He said, I'm looking like Jesus. That's what I'm doing. See, I got sandals on and I'm wearing bell bottoms just like Jesus. I'm walking around like Jesus. And he said, come on, Dad, give me the keys. And his father said, no, you're not going to get the keys. He said, no way. He said, as long as you're doing, you don't want to listen to me, you won't do what I tell you. And he said, well, come on, Jesus had long hair. Jesus had all these things. He said, yeah, Jesus walked everywhere. So you got them sandals, you can walk everywhere you need to go instead of getting the keys to the car. But Jesus Christ didn't have a house, didn't have a car, didn't even have a moped. He told the disciples one time, the disciples of John came to him and said, they said, Lord, you know, we're going to follow you. And Jesus said, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head. I mean, think about it. If you're here today, you're sitting in this pew, we're sitting in a building, and if Faith Baptist Church owns this building, and we have air conditioning, we got all these things. We got a home we're going to go to later, and we got air conditioning in the house. We got a car we're out here going to drive. We got all these things. You're a lot better off than what Jesus Christ had. You're a lot better off. I mean, Jesus Christ worked with his hands. We got carpenters in here. We got electric saws and everything. He worked with his hands. He was in the movies and all the pictures they make of Jesus Christ look like a little skinny wimp. He wasn't no wimp. He was a man. He was a man's man. And he didn't own nothing. But he tells us in the book in Revelation, I mean, John chapter 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house or what? Many what? All the new Bibles try to say rooms. We believe the King James Bible. It says mansions. Amen. I've preached in many funerals. I said, you might be trailer trash right now, but you're going to have a mansion if you're saved. Amen. And I said, I live in a trailer. I live in a trailer, double wide. And it's added to it and added to it. It's more like triple wide now or quadruple wide. But, trailer trash. But one day I'm going to have a mansion. Yeah. And that's what the Lord promised. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, and look at verse 15, and or actually verse 11, he says, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place. If you know anything about the tabernacle, he entered in as a high priest. Once a year, a high priest went in and put the blood of a calf or a lamb on the mercy seat. And that was to atone and postpone judgment to come. And that's what they did. But the Bible says Jesus Christ entered in once. He didn't have to go every year. I don't have to get saved over and over and over and over and over and over again. I get saved one time. You're saved, you get saved one time. You don't get saved 15, 20 times, 30 times. You don't get back. I tell people baptism will save you. I buy a fire truck, went over town, squirt everybody down in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. But it ain't that. That ain't it. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkled of the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Saying, if these blood of bulls and goats and all that sprinkle for a postponement of atonement or the judgment to come, he said, how much more God's blood that shed his blood? And see, that's what is hard to comprehend. God became a man that the sons of men might become the sons of God. That's hard to comprehend. That God had a plan back in Genesis. We studied that Revelation. God had a plan. And the plan was his son was going to die in our place. His son was going to pay our sin debt. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, that's very important, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. And that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the First Testament. The First Testament couldn't do it. The First Testament, which is the Old Testament, the law could not redeem, permanently. Only the New Testament, the blood that Jesus Christ shed and what he paid for, became the Lamb of God, could take away sin. Now look on down. Look what it says. Under the First Testament, which were called, might receive the promise of eternal what? Eternal what? Inheritance. See, people, when somebody dies, they get an inheritance. And their inheritance, it says eternal inheritance. And we have an eternal inheritance. We're going to receive. Now, I've got it right now when it comes to salvation. I don't have the mansion that he promised. I don't have all the things that he promised. There's five crowns in the Bible that he promises to his children. I mean, we sing that song, will there be any stars in my crown, any stars in my crown? I mean, he made some promises, brother and sisters. I'll tell you what, he made some promises that he's going to keep one day. And if you serve him and you honor him, he's going to keep his promises. It says, and called us might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I don't know how many folks in this room are saved. I don't know if you're sitting here this morning. I don't know if you know for sure you're going to heaven. I'm glad she made sure. I'm glad John made sure. I'm glad others made sure they're saved. And you only get saved like one time. That's all I said, one time. We had a young man got saved the first night at camp. And boy, we all cried that he got saved. Woo! What a blessing, man.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Yep.
And it says, for where there's a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a tester and testator. And it's for a testament is of a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept and all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Now, you think about that scarlet wool and all that stuff. And it says, moreover, verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If I'm the executor of his estate, and actually you're the executor of his estate, and not only are you the executor of his estate, you're also the inheritors of his estate. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can get in on it. There's a teaching by a guy named John Calvin. John Calvin taught this, that God only shed enough blood just for those that are elect. He shed only enough blood for just the very elect. When the Bible says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible also says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So your job and my job, after Jesus Christ resurrected in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, he wants everybody to be saved. Why? Because the Bible says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not saved, God's not willing that you perish and without him, without the Lord Jesus Christ that paid your sin debt. If you perish without Jesus Christ this morning, or you die in your sin, it's just like going over to Jesus Christ and punching him in the face and spitting him in the eye and saying, what you did on the cross wasn't good enough for me, and I could do it on my own. I'm good enough to get to heaven. Then when the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, you're not good enough to get to heaven. I'm going to tell you something, you're going to bust hell wide open with your back broken, your eyes scratched out if you don't get saved. I'm not saying the Baptist church is going to save you. The Methodist church can't save you. There is not a religion on the face of the earth that can save you. There's nothing on this earth that can save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. I mean, this world's in a mess, man. Look, the Bible says all nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. And man, what's happening to America? America's forgot God. I mean, the foundation of our Constitution and our people that came over here, that grew up the Constitution, that brought about the Independence Day and about the freedom that we have. I'm going to tell you something, man. God allowed America to be free. God had his hand on America. But I believe this, God's taking his hand off. Why? Why would you say that? Look at all the hatred. Look at all the murders and the killing, and there's no regard for life when Christians are supposed to be caring about other people's lives. That's why they go out, pass out tracts, and street preach and try to tell people about Jesus Christ. I mean, you know what Jesus Christ left us? I mean, the executor, as the executor of state, I'm supposed to read his will. My wife, we read my father-in-law's will. We wept over reading his will. And here we read Jesus Christ's will. And he said, all things are yours. And the Bible tells us that what he left us is the love of the Father. He left us the love of the Father. In John chapter 17, if you would turn there, John, you know, the Bible says God is love. And a lot of people don't like to think about God being love. I was preaching here one Sunday morning, and Brother E's mama was here. And where's E at? Raise your hand, Brother E. Where you at? Is he here? Right, Brother E, right there. His mama was here. And I preached on the love of God. And she walked down the aisle, and she said, I thank God Brother E was here. She walked down the aisle, and she said, if God is love, why did he take my son? And I was praying. I was saying, oh, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me say the right thing. And I said, I don't know the answer to that. But I know God is love. And I know the Bible says, shall not the God of all the earth do right? And life and death is in his hands. It's up to him. Every man's appointed a time. And when you're born, you're appointed a time. And nobody knows when that time is. Nobody knows. I don't know. I mean, I could drop dead right here while I'm preaching. But I don't know. And I've heard about preachers dropping dead while they're preaching. But I tell you what, folks, nobody knows the time when you're going to stand before God. But the thing is, you better be ready. You better be ready and be prepared to stand before the Lord. But what Jesus Christ left was the love of the Father. Look, this is a great intercessory prayer that Jesus Christ wrote in John chapter 17. Look at this with me. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy son. You think about this. Why did Jesus Christ die? Why he died? Because there was a purpose. There was a reason. There was a sin debt that was need to be paid. And it says, glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. We're here in this life right now. Our lives are supposed to be glorifying him. That's why we're here. He left us the love of the Father. And the Bible says this, and it says, all as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as many as thou hast given him. As this is eternal life, that they might know that the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I was manifested. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Check this out. He said, I pray for them. Jesus Christ is praying for you. Amen. Right now. You say, can he do that? Yes, he can. Romans chapter 8. He's making intercessory prayer for you right now. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. The Bible tells us to love not the world, neither things in the world, for all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The only answer for this world is Jesus Christ. That's the only answer. Right. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine, I love this, all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. This is the only time Holy Father is mentioned in the Bible, and guess who in Rome takes this title for himself? Only time talking to God the Father called him Holy Father. They call a guy in Rome that. I don't call that guy a Holy Father. He says, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And we was going through Revelation. God's always interested in fulfilling scripture. And he says, the son of perdition, and we know that was Judas. And the son of perdition is still coming. Judas incarnate coming. He's going to come. He says in verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these speak I things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Notice that he said that they might have the joy in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That tells you right there, you're not supposed to be of the world. Right there tells you. You're not supposed to be of this world. I've got a home beyond the river. I mean, folks, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. What happens is we get too at home here, and when we should be looking towards him. It says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we're going to read on down. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which thou hast shall believe on me through their word. He says, neither pray I for them these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. And it says, and that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, God's purpose, and when Jesus Christ left this world, he left us the love of the Father. That was what you inherited, the love of the Father. We sing that song, my Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of this world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. The riches untold. I'm a child of the King. It's Jesus Christ left us the love of the Father. The love of the Father. Now look on down, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which thou shalt believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world have not known thee, but I have known thee. These have known thee, known that thou hast sent me. And he's looking at this verse, and he says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. When Jesus Christ left this world, he left us an inheritance. And the inheritance is the love of the Father. And we're supposed to have the love of the Father in us. And the Bible says, God commended the love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us. And now that love is past tense. I mean, before I was saved, God cared about me, died for me, paid my sin debt. If I reject his love, then I'm not in his love. I'm in his wrath. I'm in his judgment. The Bible take your Bible, look in 1 John now. Look at this. I want to show you this. 1 John. What Jesus Christ left us was an inheritance of his love, and the love of the Father. And I thank God for this. It's the Bible. When the Bible says God is love, God shows his love. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love cast out fear. His love is in us, and we're supposed to love other people. You know, I can't understand a pastor getting up saying, man, I hate them people. Oh, I hate this, and I hate them. And you're not supposed to hate people. I tell people all the time, I preach a message called God Like David. I say, you know what? I'm supposed to love everybody, but I don't have to like everybody. I don't have to like everything they do. I don't like them. But there's some things that God hates, and God says these things I hate, and he does hate. But when it comes to us, his children, Jesus Christ left us the love of the Father. Look at this. 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 1. I love this verse. If you need to underline this verse in your Bible, if you haven't underlined it, you need to underline it. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? What? What are we called? What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, look what it says. Now are we the sons of God. Not after we die. I'm God's child now. You're God's child now. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? When Jesus Christ left this world, he left an inheritance of the love of the Father. When he made reconciliation between God and man. And he was the mediator, the Bible says, of the New Testament. He mediated between God and man. And he said, all that come to me are mine and are in me. And I'm in him and he's in me and the Father is in us. And he said, mediator. And he mediated that love between us. So the love of God ought to channel through us to other people. They might see the love of God in us and care about the souls of men. He says, it doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And look what it says. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. God says, I'll give you love, and you're my child. I love you. I mean, I don't understand why a person, God's children, walk about acting like God hates them. Now, God hates sin. He hates sin. And he'll deal with you as his child when it comes to sin in your life. He'll chastise you. You know why he'll chastise you? The Bible tells us he chastises his own children. It says if you're without chastisement, then the Bible says you're bastards. You're not children, his sons. God chastises his own children. He'll spank them. Now, the world, the devil, the devil's real slick to change everything that's good, the Bible says, then to change it to bad. And, you know, the world came out in the 70s saying it's bad to correct your children. It's bad to spank your children. It's bad. And I realize a lot of men, a lot of people, the way they corrected their children was wrong. My dad used to correct us with shovels in his hand. He hit us upside the head. Anything he had his hands on, he beat us with. Now, I don't hate my father for that. But then you got a generation raised up and said, they do this, they hate you, and, you know, turn them in and lock them up and all that kind of crazy stuff. Now, I realize there's a lot of abuse going on. A lot of kids are being abused, and they shouldn't be. I don't like to see a child be abused. But a child needs to be corrected. Yeah. A child needs to be spanked. If not, you'll make a little monster out of them. That's what you'll do. Amen. The Bible says, look, in 1 John chapter 4, look at this. Look at verse 4. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he said, or 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. The world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. Jesus Christ left us an inheritance, and when he wrote in his will, he wrote down and he said, "This is you're the executor of the will, and I wrote this in my will for you to love one another and show the love of the Father." That's what we're supposed to do: show the love of the Father, show the love of the Father to each other. Look what he says in verse 6. Here we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that not heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is of, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth that God, knoweth not God, for God is love. But in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Look at this. I love this. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. You know why I love him? Because he loved me. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I mean, Jesus Christ says, here's why I'm going to put in my will. I want you to inherit my Father's love while you're on this planet. Yep. You inherited that. Yeah. If you got hatred in your heart, you see people walking around, I don't understand why a guy could take a gun and sit there and shoot innocent police officers. Standing there trying to... I don't understand why people would hack up people's and all that. I don't understand that. Before I was saved, I had a lot of hatred in me. I hated people. I hated cops. I hated anybody and everything. But man, when I got saved and I started reading the love book, the book that God showed his love for me and showed his love and Jesus Christ showed his love for me and went down and died on a cross and carried a cross all the way up to Golgotha's hill and died on it and said, Father, forgive them. Yeah, I told you about this young man. I was watching one night Fox News. Jesse and I were sitting there, and we was weeping and crying watching this thing. It was a young man that got saved. And this guy's father was the head of Hamas in Palestine. His daddy was the head of Hamas. His father was supposed to kill him because his son converted. His son, they had him in hiding. And they were hiding him from the Muslim extreme, all the Muslims. That, even in the Quran tells them, if your children convert and they go in, you know, they become heretics, you kill them. You kill them. You said, well, that ain't true. The news media tries to make you think, you know, Islam is a loving religion. It is not, bro, folks. Islam is not a loving religion at all. There's no love about it. And only the salvation in Jesus Christ and Christianity is real love. And this young man said he was in an Israeli prison. And they put him in prison because he was stoning Israeli soldiers. And they arrested him. And they were shot with rubber bullets. He said, but I found myself not hating the Israelis like I was supposed to. He said, as a kid, I grew up, ever since I was in the cradle, I was taught by my family and my relatives to hate Jews, hate Christians, kill Christians, hate Jews, and kill them. All my life, he says, that's all I've heard. Hatred. Hatred. He said, man, I got out of prison. They let me out of prison. He said, I found myself, I didn't hate the Israeli soldiers for some reason. He said, I found myself walking down through Old Jerusalem. And he walked down the streets of Old Jerusalem, and he said, there were some people out there handing out flyers. You know, God's got people everywhere. I mean, there's people everywhere, folks. You wouldn't imagine where God's got Christians at. Amen. And you say, well, man, there's persecution. Yeah, but in the book of Acts, you'll find persecution. There were people getting saved right and left. Yeah. Here we are in a free country, man. And I mean, we got no persecution when it comes to that, freedom. We have none. We don't see people getting saved like they did in the book of Acts. And this young man, I wish I could remember his name. He said they were passing out flyers about a Bible study in Old Jerusalem. And he said, I thought, well, I'll find out where they're at. I'll be able to tell my dad, and then we maybe get a group together, and maybe we can bomb them. Wear a vest in and kill them, Christians, so we can get 70 virgins killing Christians. That's hatred. For a race of people. When God doesn't hate his children, God loves his children. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, or white. He loves you. You're his child. Yeah. Yeah. And then this young man said this. He said, I went to the Bible study. And he said, for the first time in my life, after a couple weeks, he said, I ended up getting saved. He said, the reason why, because he read over there, he says, love, he was reading in Matthew, where Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. He said, I've never heard that in my life. All my life what I heard was hate. What Jesus Christ leaves us is the love of the Father. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. If you hate somebody, something wrong with you. You need to get that thing right. You hate your relatives. You need to pray for them. Pray God save them. If you hate somebody, hate a certain person, you know the Bible talks about brotherly love. You're supposed to love each other. You see churches splitting and hating each other. I've been around churches where, man, they stay splitting. People won't talk to other people. They won't talk to them. There's been people leave this church, and they talk bad about me. You know what I do? I see them in Walmart or something. I say, hey, how you doing? How y'all doing? And they act like they're trying to run from me. I'm seeing it, man. They try to get away from me. I don't hate them. No way, man. I might agree with them. I don't hate them. I want to see them saved. I see them, if they're saved, to live for God. What Jesus Christ left us. You know, they say love is blind. But usually what happens when, like, Eric got married and Bethany got married, David got married, and Nikki got married. They say love is blind. But they said marriage is an eye-opener. Real love seeks to make others happy rather than yourself. And you know what? God showed that love. Take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 12. Look in Romans 12 real quick. Love of the Father. And I got to hurry, man. It's time flying by. This is the first point. Love of the Father. Love of the Father. What we inherited, my wife, like I said, we got a will. She inherited. And she's the executor of the state. Some of her family was here, and they were here for the funeral, for the memorial service, I mean. And some of the family said to me, said, what about the will? What about who's getting what? And I said to them this. I said, here's what I said to them. I was sitting at the table. I just said this. They want to know where who's getting what and who's doing what. And they didn't come to my wife, they asked me. And I said, whoever's in the will get a letter from the lawyer. Whoever's in the will get a letter from the lawyer. Guess what? I'm in the will. You're in the will. I got a letter.
Amen. Yeah. That's
good, bro.
Romans chapter 12, look at verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Don't let it be false in appearance. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave that which is good. Be kind, affectionate one to another with brotherly what? What?
Love.
Brotherly love. In honor, look what it says. Real love tries to make others happy. Real love. I'm talking about real love. God is love. God is love. God's trying to make his children happy. Now, God doesn't give his children everything they want. Why? Because he knows that would make a little monster out of them. Be kind, affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. Take your Bible, look at 1 John chapter 2. Look at 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. 1 John chapter 2. This is more of a Bible study than it is a message. But look at this. 1 John chapter 2. Look what it says. I mean, what Jesus Christ left us from the Father, he's the testament that he left, the will that he left. He says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. He tells you to love the Father, love one another. Then he tells you don't love the world. And what happened, like Brother Ken was talking about in Sunday school this morning, there's so many Christians that love this world so much. Now, I realize, folks, in this world, we got to make a living. Everybody says, you got to make a living, preacher. You got to do that. Yeah. But you better put God first in everything you do. And the Bible tells you that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Because if not, everything you touch is going to turn to crud. It'll just turn to crud. Because you're trying to get it on your own rather than the Father, putting the Father first. It'll just break. It'll tear up. It'll get destroyed. Because you're not putting him first. Now, the Bible says this. It says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Jesus said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the what? What does it say? The love of the Father is not what? In them. If you love this world more than you love God's word, God's church, the testament that Jesus leaves behind, the promise of the love of the Father, he said, the love of the Father is not in you. I want the love of the Father in me.
Amen.
I want to love people. I want to care about them. Yep. I tell you this, I don't think a man can effectively pastor a church without loving people.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you don't love, I mean, this is like a father loving his children and willing to die for them. You got to love people. If you don't, then don't try to pastor a church. Because you know why? People are going to stab you in the back. They're going to hurt your feelings. I told a brother yesterday, people are going to hurt you, man. They're going to hurt you. Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, you love me? As a pastor, the Lord says to me, you love me? I'm the executor of the state. He said, do you love me? I said, yeah, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. He said, feed my sheep.
Yeah.
My job is to feed the sheep. My job is to encourage the saints.
Amen.
Help those that are down get up. You say, well, that's your job, preacher. No, that's your job as well.
Yeah.
Right. You're the inheritor of the inheritance that God left behind.
Yeah.
When Jesus Christ left this world 2,000 years ago, you said, well, I just don't like them people. I just hate them people. I don't want to be around them people. Something wrong.
Yeah.
There's something wrong. Something wrong with you. There's something that you need to get right with God about.
Yep.
If the love of the Father is in you, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Yep.
It doeth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What we're supposed to be doing right now, we're supposed to be getting more like him, be preparing ourselves to be more like him. I told you a couple weeks ago, I got people that I say them, I wave to them, they won't wave to me. I say, hey, how y'all doing? They just turn their back. I'll never forget Bertha. She was a Amish girl. And Bertha, she's a reflexologist. And I told Bertha one time, I said, Bertha, we was over there, she was doing my back and stuff. I threw my back out and she's working on my back. And I said, all Amish people are saved, aren't they? She said, no. She said, no, preacher, they're not. I said, well, every time I talk to them, they tell me they're saved. And I said, we had Amish come here to weddings and stuff. I said, they all tell me they're saved. She said, and she's working on me. She taught me something. She said, she stopped and looked at me. She said, well, who was doing the talking? I said, I was. She said, that right there tells you something. I said, what do you mean? She said, did you were doing all the talking, they disagreeing with you? I said, yeah. She said, well, they're not confrontational. She said, ask them to tell you how to get saved. I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, I got saved. She went down to Mennonite church on Sunday night because the Mennonite church sang. The women sang and the men sang. And it was so pretty. She said, I went there and ended up getting saved. I went home, told my family I got saved. She said, they shunned me. My father forbid me to go back to that church. And they shunned me. And she said, when I walked into the church, our church, she's talking about the Amish church. She said, when I walked into church, people were walking around talking. She said, they see me, they turn their back to me. They wouldn't talk to me. They shunned her. And she said, I went through that, and my daddy was dying. She said, I didn't care what they thought. She said, I went in and said, Daddy, you got to get saved. Daddy, you got to get saved. And he finally trusted Jesus Christ on his deathbed. She said, I didn't care what they thought. The love of the Father. He says, love not the world. Look at this. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 5. Look at this. I'm going to stay on love right now. I was going to get on peace, think about Nobel Peace Prize and all that stuff. Look at John chapter 5. We're going to stop with this. Jesus says, here's some things. He said, here's some things I'm going to leave behind. I'm leaving my Father's love. I'm leaving behind that you love one another. And you show that you, when you love one another and you care about one another and you care about the souls of men, because God cares about the souls of men. I'm going to tell you something. You don't care about the souls of men. You don't care about God's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And the Father's business is the souls of men. If you don't care about that, then you don't care about his business. You know what? We're all in business. We're all in business. We're self-employed, but we're connected to the Father. He's our partner. We're self-employed. We're supposed to be serving and trying to win people to Jesus Christ, the business. We're all in business. John chapter 5, look at this. John 5, and look at, John 5 and look at verse 42, 5:42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? This is the Pharisees saying this and the people saying this. How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Look at this. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and it shall be all taught of God. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man have seen the Father, save that he which is of God, and he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father did eat man, your fathers and so on. But he says, no man come down from heaven except the Father has sent me. The Father sent Jesus Christ down. When he went back to heaven, he said, occupy till I come. Fulfill the will. Fulfill being the executor of the will. Take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 2. We'll stop with this. Revelation chapter 2, because we got a baby dedication. I'll finish this some other time. Revelation chapter 2, look at this. Revelation chapter 2, and he's writing to the church of Ephesus. Revelation 2, you know there's seven churches. He's writing to the seven churches, and this is the first church he writes to. And this is the first church, I'm telling you folks, it's the first church and this goes from about 30 some AD to about 150 AD, somewhere in there. That might not be exactly right. It's up to about 150 AD. This is the first church. I'm talking about the first dispensation of the church. And look what he says. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and hast borne and hath patience. For my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. This is the first church, folks, from that period of time of the day of Pentecost up to about 150. I mean, they suffered. They went through all kinds of things. And he said, man, you've been patient. You hate those that say they're apostles and are not. And he says, don't hate them, but he said, you tried them which say they are apostles or not. And look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He says, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, let me ask you something this morning. If Jesus Christ left us a will, and we're the executor of the estate, and we're the inheritance of his estate, he said, all things are yours. And he said, I leave you the love of the Father. And he said, I want you to love one another. And I want you not to love the world, not to love this world. Because all that's in the world is lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. It'll get you like Lot. And you'll lose everything. When you love this world, you'll lose everything you've ever gotten. Everything you ever possessed. It'd be nothing. You won't have nothing in heaven. But he says this to this church. He said, you haven't fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because I've left thy first love. I'm going to tell you something. We all get cold. In marriages, husband and wife get cold towards each other. You're supposed to reunite that, kindle that fire with each other. I mean, love has to be worked at. Love has to be worked at. You know, like I said, when you first get married, it's like googly eyes. You know, fall in love. You say, I'll always love you. You know, I'll always love you, baby. You'll always be my wife. And then, you know, after a year or so, you go, oh, man, she's getting kind of, she put on a little weight. She don't look like she used to when we got married. She's kind of letting herself go, you know. And you start looking around. And before long, somebody at work, some young chick comes in there. I know a guy right now that's a preacher. Had his own business. You know, all the guys, all the preachers I know went after this guy, tried to get him back. He had a wife, beautiful wife. She was in this church. Four or five kids. Some girl came to work for him. They started being buddies and pals, patting around on each other. This guy's called to preach, one of the best preachers I've heard. If I named his name, y'all would know because he preached at camp. Before long, that girl got him, and he got her. Left his wife, left his family, left his love. You know what happens to Christians? We'll leave our love for God. Things in this world get a hold of you. That's why the Bible tells you to love not the world. Neither things in the world. For all that's in the world is lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. That's the flesh, man. It'll draw you. And you'll leave your love for God, and the things of God and the business of God will go to pots in your life. You'll ruin everything. You'll ruin it all. I always pray, God, you know me. You know where I am. All men, all flesh is grass. I said, God, don't let me mess up. Don't let me lose my love for you. All flesh is grass. There's not a man in this room. Those guys are better than me. He says, you've left your first love. I got that against you. I'm talking about the early church. Our church, I've been pastoring here 30 years. And man, we've gone through times where we've been high and then lows and highs and lows. And you've been in your life, been times of highs and lows. But if you have less time high, the highs for the love of God, then and you spend more time in the lows, There's something wrong. These kids go to camp, and they get on fire. They'll get gone. I mean, I thank God for the kids went to Youth Ablaze. They've been still steady going on. Praise the Lord, some of them.
Amen.
Some of them have.
Amen.
But what camp does is add a little more fire to it, more wood to it. Well, at church, what we try to do is add a little wood to your fire. Keep the thing burning.
Amen.
So keep what burning? Your love for God.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Jesus Christ left a will. He said, you're the executive of the state. I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you'll love me, you'll be about my business. So have you always been on fire and in love with God? No. Not like I'm ashamed of myself. How many times I've walked out of a room, I've walked out of a store, and God said, hey, what about those people in there? You didn't give them a track. If God lays somebody on your heart to give them a track, you better do it. And I'm not saying you have to give everybody in the whole place, but if God tells you to do it, do it.
Yeah.
Give everybody a track. Make a fool out of yourself for him. But how many times I've walked out of a place and the Lord says, you didn't tell him. And I go, well, Lord, I ain't got no tracks on me. Why? He said, I reminded you to get tracks. You didn't get them, did you? And I've found myself a couple times, I've gone back in and said, hey, folks, I'm sorry. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. And I just want to tell you, Jesus Christ loved you and died for you. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And I've walked out because I didn't have no tracks on me. If we're all sitting in here this morning, we say we're saved. Have you left your first love? Jesus Christ left us his last will and testament and said, I give you the love of the Father. As I'm in him and he's in me and you're in me and you're in him. Amen. You know the Bible says in the book of Jude, verse 21, I'm going to close with this. It says, you know what it says? Take your Bible. Look at it. Look at it real quick. Look in the book of Jude. Look what it says. We all need this, man. Yes, verse 21. Keep yourself. Look what it says. See, what happens is burdens and troubles and trials and heartaches and sorrows and all this stuff that you go through will try your love. It'll try you. You'll go through stuff and it'll try you. It'll check you out. Do you really love God? Are you really doing what you're doing for God? I've been tried through those things, and I'll probably be tried again. But look what it says. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Bible tells you to keep yourself in love with God. Why? Because you fall out. You'll fall out. It'll get old. It'll get old for you. And that's why you come to church and you sing. We always try to get people on Sunday morning, try to stir you up. Come on, sing. The choir, come on, sing. Try to stir you up to love your Father and give him praise. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I ride down the road sometimes thinking, God, why in the world? Why in the world do you love us? Man, we're always stabbing you in the back. We're always hurting you. We're always not doing what we're supposed to do. God, why do you love us so much for? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. My Father, thank you again this morning for your mercy. And thank you for loving us. Oh, my Father, help us, Lord God. Sometimes we leave our first love. Now our first love is you, Lord. And I pray, God, forgive us for that, Lord.